Well, this morning I just want to open up with this, let you know that Pastor Jeff and his wife Kelly have left on vacation this morning, supposedly at 3:30 this morning. Now, I don't know how well you know Pastor Jeff, but I know him pretty well. And he did not believe me when I told him there was a 3:30 a.m., that there was more than one a day. So you can keep them in prayer as they travel this morning. Now you can start to get an answer to a question that I've been asked a number of times over the past 3 weeks. Why was Jeff preaching about sex and marriage and not me? Because usually he wants me to do those sermons. Well, now you know, because he wanted to go on vacation and he had to do it. So there's the truth. Now, this morning we are going to continue on in 1 Corinthians. We're going to continue to look at this church in Corinth, and we're going to study what Paul had to say to them. This was a church that Paul planted. He was no longer active there in that church as their pastor at the time, but he had planted that church. It was a special place to him. This city was a trade city, as we've talked about a number of times, which meant there was a lot of different people coming and going into this city all the time. There were a lot of things happening in that city that weren't good. And so it had a lot of bad influences in that city as well. Thus the need for a church plant. People of this church were influenced by the things in the city, the things that were happening there. They had been involved, a lot of them had been involved in some of those things that were not so good before they started their journey in this spiritual growth journey with Christ. So after some time, as these church members gathered together, some things started to creep into the church and they started to have questions about how to deal with a lot of these issues that were creeping into their body. And there is what we have spoke about. Pastor Jeff has talked about that the last 3 weeks, about sexual immorality and how it had started to work into the church. And just talks about marriage and a lot of things that went along with marriage and widows and whether we should be married or not be married and all those things. A lot of those questions started to come forward. But here we are today, and it's time for the next question, please. The next question that this church had for Paul. This brings us to chapter 8, which is concerning the question about eating food that had been offered to idols. So when the question is, what about eating food that's been offered to idols? What do we have to say about that? What does Paul have to say about that? Should they eat of food or should they not? But before we get to those answers, let's just take a little bit about, talk about the process there a little bit. Things that we've already learned about the city of Corinth that's going to come into play a lot right here. First of all, they had many temples. They had many gods that they worshiped, or so-called gods. Many animals were sacrificed at those temples. Certain part of that animal was sacrificed and burnt, and other parts of that animal were given to the local priest, and the rest was sold at the temple market at the discounted price because it had already been offered as an idol. It was kind of the Aldi's of the day. Here's a short version of the issue that Paul had to face. There were those stronger brothers who were not bothered at all by buying or eating the meat that had been offered as a sacrifice to those so-called gods. And then there were the weaker brothers whose conscience would not allow them to eat of this food that had been offered to idols. So what was Paul to do? He tells us that in 1 Corinthians 13. But before we get into that passage, would you bow with me? Father God, as we prepare to read your word, I pray that you will let it soak into our hearts, that you will help us to understand, even though this is a topic that may not be on the top of our discussions this evening as we gather in fellowship together, but it is a subject, if we look deeper into it, that it really should be a topic of conversation because it talks about some pretty important things. So Lord, I pray that today you will speak through me. And Lord, it's not me, it's your word, and I pray that I can just share some of the thoughts we have concerning your passage. In your name I pray. Amen. So let's look at verses 1-3 to start with. It starts out, it says, now about the food sacrificed idols. You see, that's the next question. That's the question that they had for Paul that they wanted an answer to. It says, we know that we all possess knowledge, and that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know, but the man who loves God is known by God. We confused you? The passage maybe could be a little confusing, but let's get into it. Paul goes directly toward this subject of knowledge and the difference between knowledge and love. You see, knowledge puffs up and love builds up. Love and knowledge must go together. Truth without love, though, is brutality. Truth without love is brutality. Have you known Christians in your past that have not figured this out yet? They shout the knowledge at you without any love. They use the knowledge as a club to make you feel and do things the way they want it done, without any concern for you or your conscience. I don't know about you, but I've met people like that. In the church, this might be called legalism. Paul would rather for us to have large hearts instead of big heads. That's where Paul would like us to go with this. As we grow spiritually, we grow in knowledge, and that's a good thing. But it also can be dangerous. Why? Because when we become puffed up, as Paul says, we can think that we have all the answers and that everyone else is wrong if they disagree with us. And that is a dangerous place for us to be. I have found over the years that the more I know, the more I realize I need to learn. That's kind of a confusing statement as well. But it's true. The more I know about God, the further I feel from those standards, because I realize what's expected and I know that I'm having a hard time meeting some of these expectations. So the more I know about God, sometimes in my own life, it makes it harder because I know more. If someone tells you that they have arrived to this high level of spirituality, they have all the answers, they've figured everything out, my best advice to you is run. As fast as you can. Because, you know, we don't figure it all out this side of heaven. There'll be a lot of questions that we will still have as we enter. I doubt very seriously if we'll be asking those questions, because we will be on our knees worshiping the King of Glory, right? When we sing that song, it just reminds me of just standing there before God worshiping Him. And I think that's what we're going to be doing, hopefully. And we won't have this long list of things you wanted to ask God when you got there. You see, in this case, the stronger brother with the puffed up knowledge can cause his weaker brother to go against his conscience and then fall into sin. Our conscience depends upon knowledge. The more spiritual knowledge we know and act on, the stronger our conscience will become. Things that may not bother you when you were a baby Christian, and maybe they bother you now, or maybe there's things that bothered you then that don't bother you now. We grow in Christ, and we mature in Him. So when we have times in our life when we're involved in something that maybe we shouldn't be, or it's questionable, have you ever had a case where you've been involved in that or had the potential to be, and then all of a sudden you just get this feeling inside you that this isn't right, this is wrong? That's our conscience working. And it's based upon the knowledge we have in God that He has taught us what is right and wrong, and it causes us to question ourselves. It's important that we allow our conscience to help us to get through the days. Paul also tells us, though, that the weaker Christian's conscience is easily defiled, wounded. So they can be easily wounded. So we need to really care for them and care for what they need in their life. We are called to put others first in our life. Their needs, their concerns before our own. That's just a basic Christian principle. That they're more important than we are. Love needs to be the word of the day in this passage this morning. The video that we saw was on love. We've sang about love. Love is what it's all about. Love is like a stepping stone. And knowledge sometimes can be like a stumbling block. It doesn't have to be, though. Our knowledge in God can be used for great things and for good things and to help us grow and to help us look to God and to understand Him better and to know Him better. It doesn't have to be a stumbling block, but it can be if we're not careful. Stumbling block in the Greek says to give offense to or cause a wound. And I don't think any of us want to do that to others, hopefully. Paul writes in chapter 13 about the concept of knowledge versus love. In 1 Corinthians 13, which Pastor Rick is going to speak on a few weeks from now when we get to that point, but the 13th chapter, verse 2 says this, "If I have gifts of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing." See, again, he's pushing that point of we need love. And it can't be just about what we know. There has to be love involved. Love matters. So let's move on with this issue at hand that Paul has to face in verses 4 through 8. So then, and I stopped there and I wrote this, know that we understand the difference. Now that we understand the difference between love and knowledge. So then, now that we understand this, about eating food sacrificed to idols. We know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as needed there are many gods and many idols. Those are, notice if you look at the scripture, those are little g's and little l's, not our God, not the one God, not the one Lord and Savior that we worship. Yet for us, there is but one God, a big G, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things come and through him we live. But not everyone knows this. You see, not everyone has all this knowledge. Some people don't have that knowledge yet. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to an idol. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. And that was Paul's answer, his at least preliminary evaluation of the situation. So let's look at this issue of eating meat. Let's go a little deeper into just that for a moment. You see, in that day, there were two sources of meat in the ancient world. The regular market, where the prices were higher. You know, the Krogers and the Al's. And then there was the local temples, where the meat from the sacrifice was always available. The strong members of the church realized that idols could not contaminate the food, so they saved money by purchasing the cheaper meat available from the temples. Furthermore, if unconverted friends invited them to a feast at which a sacrificial meat was served, the strong Christians attended it, whether it was at the temple or whether it was in their home. It was not an issue to them who had this knowledge, but it was a point of division in the church, especially to those weaker brothers. And so there was a real dilemma here. There was a dilemma of what to do. Should we eat it or should we not? When Paul started to give his answer, he took both of these instances into consideration. Paul said that eating of the meat was not immoral because an idol is nothing at all. Food does not bring us closer to God, or nor does it take us further from God. It is a spiritual neutral. That's how Paul saw this situation. But Paul also said that one believer should not encourage another believer to violate his conscience. So now that's the other side of the coin. He doesn't personally see an issue with it, but he also realizes that if somebody does, we need to be understanding of that position. This weaker brother could fall into sin because the stronger brother, with the knowledge, doesn't have love and doesn't demonstrate love. A key point in this whole passage to me, the one that stuck out to me, was the conscience of the weaker brother is more important than the individual freedom of the stronger brother. The conscience of a weaker brother is more important than my individual freedom. Just because we can do something doesn't mean we should do something. You know, a lot of times we rest on our laurels, we have all this knowledge, and we say, by gosh, we can do this because God has made us free. But that doesn't mean it's the thing that we should do, and we need to look at that. Our conscience is that internal court where our actions are judged and then approved or condemned inside of our mind and when we face those things. And as believers, our conscience helps us to know right from wrong. This is when we are involved in something that we shouldn't be. And like I said, God is telling us that. So we have to ask that question. Yeah, maybe we can do it, but maybe we shouldn't do it. So the problem is that sometimes we listen to that. We listen to our conscience, and we do the right thing, right? Unfortunately, there are times where we don't listen to our conscience. And because we feel we have the right to do it, we go on and do whatever it is that we want to do, even if it hurts someone else. That's knowledge versus love. What are we to do? What do we do today when we're faced with the same situations? Not about the food offered to idols. That's just not today. We don't have that same situation. So when we read this passage, we may say, well, okay, I can skip past this because we don't do that anymore, so it's not really a pertinent subject. I've never been faced with that, and so I don't need to really look at this. But that's not true. We may not be faced with this exact situation, but we have other situations in our life that we are faced with. Other situations in which we feel we have a right to do, but it may offend others, and it may hurt their conscience. So as we dig a little deeper into that, let's just take a look at that. It said here, it talked about in that day and age, it said if a family or an individual had made a private sacrifice to mark a big event in their life, for example, a wedding or a birth of a child, success in business, a recovery of health, part of that animal was burned at the altar of that pagan god. Again, that little g, that little god, not the real god, but the god that they worship. Part was given to the priest and the rest was consumed in a celebratory meal. Obviously, many Christians in Corinth had family members and friends who organized such events, and they attended these events. They faced a difficult decision, but they made a decision to go anyway, to go ahead and go to these events, even though it might have offended younger and weaker brothers. What about us today? What are some examples of this dilemma that we face as 2017 Christians? Because that's really the action for us today, is to take a look at how does this passage affect me? How does it change my life, or how should it? Here's one. Let's say that you make a trip. You're going to go out to Colorado on a ski trip, okay, Pastor Ryan, wherever he's at. Let's say you're going to go with a friend, and this friend is also a Christian, but he's a weaker brother as his part in the story. It is legal in marijuana now to smoke marijuana. And maybe there was a time in your life where you took part in this, even here, even though it was illegal, and we won't ask for a raising of hands. But now that you are older and you're in a place where it is legal to do so, you now have more knowledge in the Word of God and don't believe that this would be a spiritual issue for you. But you also know that this could cause this younger brother to stumble because this may be something that his conscience says he should not be involved in for whatever reason. What do you do? No one will see you, and as long as no one gets hurt, what's the harm, right? Should I smoke or should I not? Well, you might say, well, it doesn't really pertain to me because I'm not going to go skiing in Colorado and I don't go to Colorado, so it's not really a problem. Just wait. It'll be a problem. But let's look at some things maybe that are a little more common for us. Let's say you go out to dinner and you decide that you would like to have a glass of wine with dinner or a cocktail. You understand that that's perfectly legal. And really, the Bible only talks about getting drunk, not about having a glass of wine. So should you drink or should you not? That's a dilemma that as Christians, sometimes we have to face. Or what about smoking? Or what about the way we dress or the money that we spend on ourselves or the movies we go to? All those things happen to us as Christians. I don't know about you, but maybe it's different for you, but I know for myself, it's stuff that comes up whenever I'm involved in situations. I'm in a movie that I probably, now that I'm there, I find out I probably shouldn't be. It's not a very good movie. Maybe I should get up and leave. What are people thinking? Will any of those things hurt my testimony? That's the real question that we all have to ask ourselves. But after all, I am free in Christ, right? I have liberty. I have freedom. I can do these things. They won't hurt me. And I am a strong Christian. I have knowledge. So this movie, even though it has some parts in it that are not profitable for me, I can still handle it. Should I watch it or not? You see, there are a lot of things that my freedom or liberty in Christ might allow me to do, but will affect my testimony negatively and could cause a weaker brother to stumble. And that's the dilemma that we all face. So it's not about just food offered to idols. There's a lot of things. I mean, I can't speak for you, and every single one of us have to figure that out for ourselves as Christians. And I think it's important that we do that. For myself, I know that I've kind of like followed the guideline for my own life, that if I'm anywhere in this vicinity, anywhere around, I'm very careful with what I do. If I wanted to have a glass of wine, I probably would refrain and not. Do I think there's anything wrong with having a glass of wine? Absolutely not. I don't. That's not me speaking now. That's not the church, or I'm not speaking for everybody. But for me, I don't personally have an issue with that. But I do have for myself, because I know there are people there that might see me do that and think it's okay. Maybe somebody with a weaker conscience. Maybe somebody that's had a drinking problem. And now they see Pastor Rogers doing that, so it must be okay. And so that's what I have to deal with. That's where I have to go in my life. And so I think every one of us have to wrestle with that. Have to wrestle with what you're going to do with those options in your life. Yes, we do have freedom in Christ. And he doesn't say that that's necessarily wrong to do that. So we just have to understand where we are, who we're around, and what it can cause as far as our testimony goes. A great Bible teacher once said, "Liberty is not the right to do whatever we want, but instead the power to do what pleases God." Pastor Rick Jones. But you know what, Rick? That's just not fair. My mom used to tell me those kind of things. I would say, "Mom, is it okay if I go here or do this?" My mom, being the spiritual lady she was, she always had an answer for me, and the answer was this: "Well, you know, Roger, what happens if God comes back while you're there? Or while you're doing that?" It's like, darn, that's not fair. That's like if you're playing bingo, that's the coverall. But you know, there was a lot of truth to that. And I've never forgot that. That was over 50 years ago, and I have never forgotten her words. I can still see her face saying that to me. So as we bring this message to bring it home to the reality of what we're faced with as Christians, let's look at the last, starting to verse 9, and let's look on with some more verses that Paul wrote for us. He said, "Be careful." It's a warning. "Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak." I want to repeat that because it is so vital that we hear these words. The exercise of your freedom, the exercise of my freedom, does not become a stumbling block to the weak. "For if anyone with a weak conscience sees you who have this knowledge eating in the idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. And when you sin against your brother in this way, and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Brothers, this is something that is, it tells us, then it goes on to say, when you sin against your brothers in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. And that is the point of the message there in this, these passages, in these verses here. That we have to be concerned about our brother. The key point is, when we sin against our brother, we sin against Christ. That's reality. So it tells us to do what? It says, refrain when necessary from our brother for our brother's sake, even if it might restrict our own liberty. Why? Because our love for others should drive our actions always. And that their growth can be damaged by our actions. And sin against others are sin against God. Those are three key points that we have to remember. We can't not forget. Our actions are important. Our freedom or liberty can be used to become a stumbling block to others, and we should always be aware of that fact and never let that happen intentionally. That old dilemma, yes, we can do something, but maybe we shouldn't, comes to play. So let's bring this teaching to a close. Let's look at the real bottom line of the situation that the Corinthians found themselves in and that we also find ourselves in today. Verse 13, therefore, so in light of everything that we've discussed since I started talking, therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again so that I will not cause him to fall. That was Paul's attitude. He put his own needs, his own freedom, his own liberty, he made it second to the needs and the freedom of someone else. Love for my brother is more important than having my own way. That's hard, but that's true. Comes the title of this message. Love trumps knowledge every time. So let's be a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. Put aside your rights, your liberties, your freedoms for the sake of others if confronted with that same situation. Remind ourselves what Paul wrote in John 15:3. He said, greater love has no one than this, that he may lay down his life for his friends. And this passage is not just talking about laying down your life, your physical life, and dying. It's also a case of setting aside your rights, your freedoms, laying those down, laying down my right to do this or to do that. If it means to help someone else, if it means to help them further their life in Christ, then I need to be willing to lay that down for them. That's what this passage is telling us. But we also need to be clear this morning. I'm not saying that if you have a glass of wine or a drink, it is sinful. I believe that the Bible is clear on the issue. And it would be if we get drunk with alcohol, then I think that is something that we need to be concerned with. That's obviously stated in the Bible. So I don't want to get a bunch of emails tomorrow. It says, well, Pastor Roger says, I cannot have a drink, I cannot go to dances, I cannot do this, I cannot buy good clothes, I cannot go to a movie, I can't do all these things. What's the deal? That's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm saying at all. And here's how Paul sums it up in 1 Corinthians 6:13. He says this, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Does that make sense? God has given me liberty. Praise God. He's given me freedom from the devil, from sin, from dying, a sinful person. He's told me if I make that confession of faith that I will spend eternity with him. I'm safe in that. I have freedom in that. And all that knowledge is fine. But you know what? When we put that knowledge in place of love, we fail. We have to be concerned about others. And so this morning, as you prepare to leave this place, I just want you to understand and remember these passages. Remember this teaching when we are faced with similar situations in life, when we have to make a choice between what I want to do and I feel I have the right to do But I also realize that my weaker brother could stumble if I do it. Then just don't do it. Put it aside. There'll be another time, another place that maybe you can. But this particular time and place, we probably shouldn't. So be aware. Be aware of your surroundings. Know who you're around. Know them. Understand their weaknesses and why they're the weaker brother. And then do what you can to make sure you don't do anything to cause them to stumble. That's really the bottom line here to this message. It's all about love. It's not necessarily about food offered to idols, even though it covers that. It's about our love for our fellow man, our love for fellow believers. Love, it trumps knowledge. Love, it trumps freedom. Love trumps liberty. Love is the answer to the question. Love. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you, Lord God, that you give us passages like this that help us to understand how important it is not only to love you, but to love others. Lord, because without you, we can't love others. So it has to start with you. But I pray, Lord God, that we will be on the lookout for opportunities to help people grow, to help the weaker brothers grow in Christ and gain knowledge, and also be able to teach them that love is more important and we should be willing to put away our desires for someone else. Help us, Lord, to do that as we go forward from here today. Thank you. In your name I pray.